So it is our honor to invite tonight our guest speaker to address the believers on this third night as we commemorate the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We humbly invite Sheikh Ali Qummi, who is going to be speaking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam's demands from Islam's preachers and scholars. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله لا سيما بقية الله ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أعداء الله من يومنا هذا إلى لقاء الله أما بعد فقد قال الله فلا تخشوا الناس واخشوني ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا صلوات صل على محمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, so do not fear the people, but fear me, and do not sell my ayat for little gain or for little price. We would like to begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us an opportunity to face another Muharram and suffer in our lifetime. Many people are deprived of this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we are granted the ability to shed tears for the best of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a tawfiq from Allah that He has given us. We need to, inshallah, value it. With this, we should also remember our mothers who have actually instilled the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in us from the very childhood. Sometimes we do not take into account the blessings Allah has given us. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ability and value it to the best of our abilities. Please recite As-salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. Qala Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, antum تتمنون على الله جنته. That you wish, you have this desire in you for Allah to give you Jannah, to give His Jannah. Isn't that right? This line is from this khutbah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that was delivered in Mina, and it is famously known as Khutbah Mina. You know, some of the people, they talk about the sanad of this khutbah. I would just say one thing and continue that Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, he has done an exposition on this khutbah. So this should be enough for anyone to understand the credibility of this khutbah itself. It is not a very long khutbah. I went through it. I had the tawfiq of going through it just a few days ago. It is not something that would take a lot of your time. If you read through this khutbah, being Hoza students, you start to realize that you signed up for something very dangerous. You know, before coming to Hoza, some of our fellow Hoza students, they think that, you know, they're just going to go and acquire some knowledge, put on this libas, and start to serve the community and act as alim. But when you look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his expectations from ulama, that that's when you feel that you have signed up for something serious. It is not as simple as just reciting a few verses of the Holy Quran, reciting a few ahadith of Masumeen in front of people, and expect to be that required and desired alim that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam expect you to be. It's not that simple. We desire for all those rewards that have been promised for ulama, great rewards. But I feel someone like me falls short of carrying out his responsibilities in the process. And this expectation from Allah when we do not perform our job is called ikhtirar billah in the ahadith and the du'as. So, in a nutshell, we have signed up for something very serious, arguably more serious than what we take it to be. And we will discuss this, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will try to convey the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to all of you mu'mineen and mu'minat. And first and foremost, throughout this, and this is a disclaimer, throughout this, whatever I say, it applies to me before any one of you. I intend it to apply on me. So if anything that gets said sounds a bit harsh, by no means I'm in a position to be harsh towards you. It is for me, myself. So we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he delivered this sermon, he expects the non-infallibles. You know, sometimes we have this misconception in our mind that only infallibles are perfect, hence I can do whatever I want to. Since I'm not perfect, I can make as many mistakes as I want. Well, who said so? Being a mu'min, being a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, this is not something we're supposed to take it like this. Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they put restrictions on us. They constrain us. They expect certain things from us, and we need to deliver. Some of you who may not be Hoza students don't feel that you are exempted from all this. Yeah, maybe all of it may not apply to you, but you're not off the hook either. Make sure that you're listening to what the Masoom has to say, and inshallah try to do your part and comply with what Imam is saying to you, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, before we get into the khutbah, I want to say a few points. There are some misconceptions, you know, because Karbala, it had a very strong footprint on the human conscience, the collective human conscience. So many academics and many historians and many ulama, they tried to explain what transpired in Karbala. Because of its intensity, because of the impression it left on generally Muslims, but it is not limited to Muslims. So some say that what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did, he was not quite sure what he was getting into. You know, some Orientalists, some mustashrikeen, when they study Islam, they say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he didn't know that this incident is going to take place in Karbala and he's going to have to face all these tribulations and trials and difficulties on the plains of Karbala. He was just taking a trip and then he got surrounded by the forces of Yazid and he was ambushed. Okay? This is one of the understandings of some Orientalists. Well, what we would like to say is that this is a completely wrong understanding. When we look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his life, the incident of Karbala was foretold by the Prophet of Allah at the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So it's not something that just transpired out of thin air. It was already foretold by Prophet of Allah. When you look at the narrations of Imams, they've been talking about this, that this incident is going to take place. The letter Imam Hussein alayhi salam wrote to Bani Hashim before he left and he did his uprising, it's a one-liner letter. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, I am going to rise up for the sake of Allah. If you accompany me, you're going to be martyred. And if you do not accompany me, you're never going to have dignity. This one-liner. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew very clearly what he's getting into. He knew the aftermath of what is going to transpire after the event of Karbala. If you look at the announcement Imam Hussein alayhi salam made himself about his journey, about his movement, he cleared up the goal of his movement. Amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Islah of the ummah of the jadd of Imam Hussein, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A very quick lesson we want to draw from this, whatever we have said so far. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to Karbala, when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to shahadat, when it comes to implementing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the divine struggle, it is a path that is to be traversed with shu'ur, knowingly, not accidentally, not incidentally, not that you ended up somewhere, wrong time, wrong place, and you became a shaheed. No, this is the path of ushaq. And these are the words Masoom used for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said that this is the place, Karbala is the place for the ushaq to fall. The ardent lovers of Allah. And Shaheed Beheshti in one place, he says, Ashik Bashid. Be an ashik. Don't do this calculation 2 plus 2, 4 and 4 plus 2, 6. Be an ashik. Act like an ashik. And when we look at Karbala, it is the place of ushaq. In every move of every companion of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we see ishq. They were passionate to give sacrifice for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. You know, sometimes we feel if we shy away from serving Imam Hussein alayhi salam by coming up an excuse, we're being smart. Serving Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a tawfiq that people like Hur get. The ashiks like Hur. No matter what you do, whatever small thing you do for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, remember that you are queuing up in the line of ushaq. Have this passion towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Maktab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not the maktab of calculations, the dunyavi calculations that looks out for our personal interests only. Me, my wife, my kids, my family, my interest, my bank accounts, my income, my studies, my spirituality, my namaz, my salat. It is not, the maktab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not the selfish maktab. It does not teach us selfishness. Even in doing good, it does not teach us selfishness. It is the maktab of being selfless. Isar. And not expect any reward. Because they are kareem. They are kareem ibn kareem. They reward anyways. Why do we have to crack a deal? It's not like a business deal with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's a relationship of muhabbat and ishq. Please recite a salawat. There's another group who study Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They say that what Imam alayhi salam did in Karbala was for our salvation. So that we, the Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we can go to heaven and our sins be forgiven. This is another understanding of what transpired in Karbala. That all of those sacrifices from morning till the evening, they were given so you and I can sin and be forgiven, God forbid. This is one understanding. Brothers and sisters, once again, this is a wrong understanding. It's correct in a way that if you follow Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Of course he is going to intercede for us. Of course he has promised to his believers. Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alaiha, she has promised with the believers that you are going to be receiving our intercession. If you are walking our path, it's not unconditional. So this thing is partially correct, that yes, our salvation lies in what Imam Hussain alayhi salam did in Karbala, but it does not mean that we have a green light and a license to kill. No, we have to be a mu'min so they can intercede. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, his greatness is out of this world. He won't leave us alone, inshallah. He won't leave even one person out of this place and the rest of the Muslim Ummah alone without intercession. But we have to try a little. Is it asking for too much? We have to tread that path. To say that our sins are going to be forgiven because of the sacrifice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is just like what Christians say about Hazrat Isa, na'udhu billah, that Isa, he gave all the sacrifices. Now we are free to do whatever. If our hijab is not correct, it's okay. Hazrat Zahra is going to do my intercession. No, sisters, this is not going to happen. Why? Because you cannot confront Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha and expect her to intercede for you. Not wearing hijab, not taking care of the Sharia of Islam, is confrontation with Hazrat Zahra. She gave her son. She gave her son like Imam Hussain alayhi salam for protecting Islam. You can't just walk over Islam and expect intercession from Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. You can't just intentionally make your namaz qaza. The youths, the brothers. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that if somebody takes his prayers lightly, he didn't say qaza. He says if somebody takes his namaz lightly, prayers lightly, they should not even expect our intercession. This is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So brothers and sisters, again, there's another group. So far we have covered two groups. The third group says what Imam Hussain alayhi salam did was specific to him and his time only. This is quite interesting. They say that there was this predestination, it was something done deal, Allah had already written it for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, hence he did what he did. But we don't have to go down that route. So this is the third group. See, there are many, and these are some examples, there are many versions that of this understanding that would actually aim to make you slow down. Slow down to walk on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slow down to walk on the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Slow down so you are negligent in performing your duties. And there's a false sense of satisfaction that I'm totally fine. We have to turn towards Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and ask them what our duties are. Don't go after these lazy interpretations of Karbala. This is something that is going to hold back our salvation, and it's a serious matter. Again, this is a wrong understanding that it was specific to Imam Hussain alayhi salam's time, and we're not supposed to walk that path. Why? We made a claim, right? So we need an evidence. Why? Let's go to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and ask him. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, "Mithli, la yubayu'u mithla." Someone like me would never pledge allegiance to someone like him. Him who? Yazid. He's very clear. Someone like me. He didn't say, I wouldn't pledge allegiance to Yazid. Someone like me. Which means, anybody who claims to follow me, Hussein ibn Ali, they would never pledge allegiance to the Taghut of the time. There are no two ways about it. And still, some of our people, they wonder, is it okay to cast votes and be the partner in choosing these tawaghit to come into power? In places like America, in places like Canada, in places like Australia. Brothers and sisters, mithli la yubayu'u mithla. We're not allowed by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam to be a supporter in any way, form, and shape of any taghut. Yes, it's difficult. We have ahadith, which is not my topic today. Inshallah, another day we will talk about this. We have ahadith from Ma'sumin, which say that even somebody, if they sharpen the pen of a taghut, they're not from amongst us. They have nothing to do with us. Sharpening the pen of a taghut, yani serving the taghut in any form and shape. Another evidence, Imam Hussain alayhi salam said what? Hayhat minna dhilla. The disgrace and humiliation is far from us. Well, question. So in the time of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, humiliation is far from us. And after the time of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, humiliation is not far from us, it's close to us. No. Humiliation and disgrace in all times is far from Ahlul Bayt and their followers. So no, what Imam Hussain alayhi salam did was not specific to his own time or specific to him. There's a hadith, there's actually Imam Hussain alayhi salam's statement in Karbala. Imam said, Hal min zabbin yazubbu an harami Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Please recite the salawat. Is there anyone to defend the hurmat of Rasulullah? We just saw Quran got burnt. Don't we say that Quran is the miracle of Prophet of Allah? Where's our defense? What are we doing? Are we writing even one statement on social media condemning this act? The least we can do? Are we, I'll actually go beyond. Are we even reading Quran every day? Isn't that a disrespect of Quran? We're expected to be the defenders and protectors of Quran. We are expected to be the defenders and protectors of the haram of Rasulullah and the hurmat of this deen. Where are we headed? So no, we are not going to settle with this idea that it was specific for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You look at the defense, holy defense, the 8 years war that Iran and Iraq had. All the shuhada, they had this headband of Labbaika ya Hussein, Labbaika ya Zahra, Labbaika ya Ali. They were Hayhat minna zilla. They were reciting Dua Kumail at night and fighting during the day. You look at the defenders of the holy shrines. They said, Kulluna basik ya Zainab. We're going to be those slaves of Hazrat Abbas and defend your shrine. Right? So we do not, and this is one of the mistakes that the Muslim Ummah made at large, and especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt, under different conditions, that's not the topic of my speech today, that they dropped this whole arena of jihad, fi sabilillah, the arena of qital, that created a vacuum in which outfits like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, Namiduram, there's so many of them, right? Boko Haram, all of these got created. If the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the righteous and pious followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, under the guidance of righteous leadership of Islam, under the guidance of Islam and the ulama, if they had not abandoned the path of jihad, this vacuum would not have been created. So in a way, it's our mistake. We should have been the defenders of Islam. We dropped it. So very quickly, I want to get into the sermon of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. If you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. A little disclaimer. Before we say that we are a scholar, or we are a student of a Hoza of any Islamic seminary, we need to introspect. We need to understand what we have signed up for and what the requirements of this is. See, you go to secular world, if there's a surgeon, if there's a dentist, you know, they have to have some sort of credentials, some qualifying criteria before they can be called a doctor, right? Unfortunately, when it comes to Islam, I feel that we have been a bit negligent in this case. Anybody who comes here for, you know, a few days, few months, few years, they start taking these kafilas for ziyarat, they become Hujjatul Islam, and right? If we really want to be called a scholar, and everybody should be a scholar, like Sayyid the other day in a speech said that, you know, we have either alim or we have mutaallim, somebody who is a teacher or somebody who is a student, right? It's good to aspire to be an alim, but know what it takes to be an alim. And know it does not take only proficiency in some Islamic sciences. Like for instance, you become good at sarf and nahv, or you start calling yourself alim. In the eyes of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, the criteria of being alim is way different than what we have in urf today, unfortunately. You look at what Imam Hussain alayhi salam says. He says, have you not earned all this respect and prestige because the people's hope that you will implement God's laws, even though in most instances you have failed to do so? This is Imam Hussain alayhi salam talking to ulama. Who is trying to implement the law of Allah? How many ulama do we know who are trying to do that in any part of the world? This is something for all of us to think. You know, our criteria of calling someone an alim or inviting them to speak is their speaking skills. How eloquent they are, how well they speak, how passionate they are, how well they have crammed their speech. Isn't it the general criteria that we are following, unfortunately? And the communities, they are pushing for that. Brothers and sisters, invite ulama, because this is going to be streamed live, and it is being streamed live and also being recorded. So those who are outside of Qom, at least, you know, this is a message for you. Start inviting ulama. Save your generations. Let them speak. Let them transfer the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam to you. And who are ulama? Who are true ulama? One criteria. As Sayyid, before the speech, he said, Imam Khamenei said, that the purpose of minbar is to identify friends and foes, friends and enemies. If an alim is not doing that, if somebody in this libas is not doing that, at least be skeptical. At least be skeptical. Yes, you would have like many who would actually give you this spiritual high when you listen to them, or these motivational speakers. This is another new trend, yeah? For the depressed ummah, unfortunately, that they look for motivational speakers rather than ulama. What do these motivational speakers do? They read these secular socialists, you know, experts of social sciences, they bring their things and start delivering it from minbar. Is that why we commemorate the Azadari of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? So we go to some sort of motivational speaker to get us back on track? Brothers and sisters, go to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Demand from scholars to recite the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, the sermons of Ahlul Bayt, the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, the history of Ahlul Bayt, the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They come and they tell you some stories about, like, you know, this other world, you know, that happened, and just somehow, you know, spend 30, 40 minutes and be out of there. The true alim would do amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar at any cost. This is another problem that we will be discussing later on. Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, the reason for this is, first he said that all this prestige is because people have this expectation from you? Then Imam continues, the reason for this is that Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar means summoning people to Islam, as well as resistance against injustice, opposing and struggling against oppressors. Brothers and sisters, how many ulama are doing that? In your own language, we have brothers from Philippines, we have brothers from Nigeria, India, Pakistan, Western countries. How many ulama do you know are doing that? Why is it that mu'mineen are not demanding it from the ulama to oppose injustice, to speak up against oppression? I'm not reading a statement from Sayyidina Nasrullah. This is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Our criterias went wrong. Anybody who has, like, you know, who gives us a spiritual high, motivational points, or, you know, good history in some cases. Because history is like storytelling, right? We become their fan. We start inviting them. This is very important to protect the member of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. This is the source of knowledge for the Ummah. Don't let it get hijacked. How many scholars do you know who speak about America, the crimes of the great Satan America, the crimes of UK, the crimes of the Zionist regime Israel? How many ulama do you know? And why are they not doing that? Imam Hussein alayhi salam is very clear. Those who did it, you know, let's say there are some who do it, you know what happened with them. Oh, they're too extreme. No, they're too like rough edges, too many rough edges. They're too political. Aren't these things that we get to hear in our communities? We want Islam minus politics. Brothers and sisters, you want to minus anything from Islam, don't call it Islam. Call it whatever you want. You minus spirituality from Islam, don't call it Islam. You minus ethics from Islam, don't call it Islam. You want to subtract fiqh from Islam, sharia from Islam, don't call it Islam. Don't dare call it Islam. Same goes with politics. If you want to subtract Alawi politics, the divine politics of Allah, the divine politics of Quran from Islam, you have no right to call it Islam anymore. Islam is copyrighted. You cannot just tamper with it. Otherwise, there's a serious lawsuit waiting for you. Please recite a salawat. Either your salawat kind of tells me either you don't agree with me or I was not able to convey what I was trying to say. Please try another salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
How many years has it been for the Palestine to be an issue? Since 1947-48. How many of our scholars speak about it? Even now, in the last 70 years. How many? Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says that the issue of Palestine is the first and foremost issue of the Muslim Ummah. It doesn't make our priority list. We have other subjects to talk about. Isn't that amazing? So we have our own priority list going on that fits our comforts. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is calling towards something else, and we are going somewhere else. And then we say, why do we not see the results? Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, again back to the sermon, you have taken lightly your duties as leaders. You have neglected the rights of the oppressed and the lowly, but have assiduously pursued what you regard as your personal right. You have not spent your money or risked your life for the sake of the one who gave you life. Nor have you fought against any group or tribe for the sake of Allah. How many ulama, how many scholars do we know who risk their lives and who spend money out of their own pocket for the deen of Allah? Imam Hussain alayhi salam, these are the demands and expectations of Imam Hussain alayhi salam that he's spelling out from the entire ummah. In the beginning I said, we signed up for something very dangerous. We should be concerned. How many of us risk our lives for the deen of Allah? We want to say things from member or privately that keep us in that safe zone. That no country, no agency of no country, no taghut, no oppressor, no aggressor, they feel any heat from what we say. I'm telling you like the shortcomings we have, right? Why? Imam Hussain alayhi salam, again, he expects you to be the voice of the voiceless, be the voice of the oppressed. How many ulama did you see struggling for Yemenis? Years of bombardment, oppression by the Saudi regime, backed up by the United States of America and other arrogant powers. Where were ulama and where are ulama? How many of them are actually speaking about it? Like I said, it doesn't even become the topic of our speeches, let alone be mentioned, let alone be done something for. These are the pains of the ummah that we need to start seriously thinking about. You look at the entire thing about Syria. Syria happened. How many of the ulama, they came out and spoke about the oppression done by the United States of America, the ammunition that was provided to ISIS. First, the creation of ISIS by the United States of America and UK and its cohorts, France and Germany and all these. And then providing them with ammunition, providing them with safety and political immunity to carry out their oppression in Syria, to dismantle Syria. Why? Because Syria is the part of the axis of resistance. How many ulama do you know who spoke about it? Fine, you don't want to talk about the Syrian people. You don't want to talk about the conspiracy that is going on against Islam and Muslims at large. At least talk about defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab Salamullah Alayha. Not a word by majority of the ulama throughout that war. Not a word. You can't go to defend the shrine? Fine. At least pray for those who are defending the shrine. Not a word, brothers and sisters. All the while, the entire nation, the entire ummah, they spend so much money on azadari. They even take loans to do majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And they expect people to come and be the voice of the voiceless, but no. It's too risky, too dangerous. You know, for these people, then you may be thinking like, okay, who is righteous ulama then? You know, if nobody is speaking, then what's going on here, right? Well, you look at someone like Shaheed Bakr al-Sadr. He fought against the oppressor and aggressor of his time throughout his life. His sister, Bintul Huda, she fought the oppressor just like Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha. She walked on her footsteps. You look at ulama like Shaheed Beheshti in Iran. You look at Shaheed Nimr in Hijaz. Do you think like we are in more danger in many of these Scandinavian countries and Western countries than what Shaheed Nimr had to face in Hijaz? At the hands of those barbaric rulers there. He knew what he was getting into. Remember, walking into the arena of jihad, walking into the arena of Karbala, it is a choice that one has to make, knowingly, not by mistake. Look at Shaheed Mutahri. He said Haq throughout his life. Look at Bakarul Hakim in Iraq. We have a long list here. Shaheed Abbas Musavi in Lebanon. Shaheed Raghib Harb in Lebanon. Imam Musa Sadr in Lebanon. We see Shaheed Arif Husseini in Pakistan. Shaheed Qaid. He was there. He did what he was supposed to do. And hence he was martyred. We're going to draw a lesson from this. Just take this point and we'll draw a lesson. Sheikh Zakzaki in Nigeria. He gave 6 of his sons in this path, in the path of Islam. But he wouldn't back off from saying Haq and preaching Haq. These are the Muballighs of Islam. Ayatollah Sistani in Iraq. And I'll discuss if I have time today. If not today, then tomorrow, inshallah. Some people try to say that, oh, no, we follow Ayatollah Sistani. And hence we are going to stay silent. Inshallah, I will address this point. If Allah gives me the tawfiq, please recite a salawat. Are these people that we named, and many more, you know, these are just some examples. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah is there. Imam Khamenei himself, above everyone, right? They're there, right? All of them, they are following and walking on the footsteps of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So it's not like we have no one. Yeah, maybe in the Western world we have no one or maybe very few. In the English-speaking world, maybe, yeah, very few. But it's not like, you know, that Islam doesn't have those personalities. Brothers and sisters, it is easy to preach to people that shaitan is uduwun mubeen. It is easy to say that shaitan is uduwun mubeen, right? He's our manifest enemy. He's our open enemy. And, you know, he is the one who hijacks us. It's easy to say that Fir'aun, Nimrud, Shaddad, Muawiyah, Yazid, Banu Umayyah, Banu Abbas, they were bad, very bad. They were shayateen, manifestation of shaitan. It's very easy to say this. But it is difficult to say that America is shaitanul akbar. It is difficult to say that UK is shaitan. The Zionist regime of Israel is shaitan. Why? Because there's a price to pay as soon as you say that. That's why it's difficult. Retrospectively, if we were in the time of Banu Umayyah, with the same logic that if it is difficult, I'm not going to do it, we wouldn't have said Banu Umayyah is bad. Because the logic stays the same, right? And arguably, and actually it can be very easily proven, that Banu Umayyah were more cruel, apparently and seemingly, than these so-called powers today. So at that time, we would actually have said nothing against the tyrants and oppressors because it's too dangerous. Let's get things straight. In the time of Banu Abbas too, it's dangerous. Leave the imams alone, leave the movement alone because it's dangerous. If this is what our mantik and logic is, it is difficult to say that America is the one that is occupying Muslim countries and innocent countries today. It is difficult to say that the great Satan, America, is the one that is bullying other countries, forcing them to do things. It is difficult to say that the Zionist regime of Israel is the pain in the neck for all the free nations of the region. Because there's a price to pay. Brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew the price he's going to have to pay. Yet he took Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet he took his companions. Yet he took the women of his household. He knew. Imam Hussein alayhi salam embraced risks and challenges for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the rights of the oppressed. We cannot say that we are Husseini. Like I said, before about Islam. We cannot say we are Husseini, but we don't want any discomfort in our life no matter what. We don't want to face any taghut of our time no matter what. This claim is impossible. We know that this path has requirements, like any other path. America today, if you look at it, it's spreading the cultural, ethical, moral, economic corruption throughout the world. Where's our response to it? And if Husseinis are not going to give a response to it, who is? Don't we cherish that our Imam stood up against oppressors of their time? Isn't it something that we are proud of, that we follow the Imams who were the enemies of humanity? Why in the world do we shy away from it then? And for how long? Brothers and sisters, because of our silence, because of us not complying with the demands of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Khutbah Mina, the result is that today an overwhelming number of Muslims still trust Western narrative on critical issues. Any critical issue of the world, you know, they are youth, because they're on social media, because they're consuming the mainstream media, they're on board with the enemy's narrative. Why? Because of our shortcomings. Many Muslims still, and at large, trust the American and British news outlets. How shameful it is. They are still being indoctrinated by American and British movies and mainstream media. These are all realities that are in front of our eyes. We're living it. Yet we choose to stay silent. Brothers and sisters, this is a question. Was it not the duty of the scholars, the Islamic scholars and muballighin, to spend their wealth and risk their lives, just like Imam Hussein alayhi salam says in Khutbah Mina, to defend the deen of Allah? Unfortunately, now, since we are in Hoza, we're sitting here, many of these people who wear these clothes, they're looking for a career path. For them, it's a job. They just want a community to pay for their bills. This is what the situation has come down to. Unfortunately, their silence is a proof. In most of the cases, you can identify such people through their silence against oppression. Quran gets burned, they don't flinch. What else are you going to protect? Muslim countries get occupied, they have nothing to say. The Zionist regime of Israel attacks Palestine, attacks Muslims, attacks Mu'mineen. They say, no, we don't really keep up with politics. And there are people like that. I've talked to them. Arguably majority of us. Where are we headed? Imam Hussein alayhi salam continues in Khutbah Mina. He says, nevertheless, you desire and regard it as your due that he should grant you paradise. This is the verse I recited in the beginning. This is the hadith. The company of the Prophet and security from chastisement in the hereafter. You have such expectations of God. Ightirar billah. When we do not fulfill our responsibilities and we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us to paradise, give us the company of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, give us the company of Ahle Karbala, who sacrificed everything they had for Islam and we're not able to even say a word in defense of Mazlumeen. This is ikhtirar billah. Our expectation from Allah is not justified, to say the least. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, I feel that the full weight, listen to these words, these are not my words. I feel that the full weight of his wrath descends upon you For although it is by his might and glory that you have achieved high rank, you show no respect to those who truly know God, while you yourselves enjoy respect among God's creatures on his account." End quote. Who are the ones who truly know God? You look at people like in, you know, you go to Palestine defending Masjid al-Aqsa. Are they not the people who are defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You look at them defending Palestinian nation. You look at those who are standing up for the Yemenis, the oppressed Yemenis, who were subjected to unjust war by the American-led Saudi coalition and Saudi forces. Are they not the ones who are taking initiatives to defend the oppressed throughout the world? Then why are they rarely mentioned from the minbar? Are they not the ones who are sacrificing for deen? Are they not the ones who Imam Hussein alayhi salam is talking about, that they are the ones who you do not give any weightage to? They are the ones who are serving Islam. They are the ones defending Sayyidah Zainab salamu alayha. Why do they not get mentioned from the minbar? This is a question. Again, we are looking at Imam Hussein alayhi salam's expectations from the ulama, the scholars, the muballighin of Islam. Some say we follow Ayatollah Sistani. And this is probably my last point before I enter Masaib. It's very unfortunate that it gets portrayed this way. Some say, and you're all familiar, right, that I follow Ayatollah Sistani and hence I have nothing to do with all this. This whole revolution, revolutionary camp, the Tawud, the Mustazaf, all of these Quranic concepts, they say we have nothing to do with it. Why? They say because we follow Ayatollah Sistani Hafadahullah. Please recite a salawat and we'll say some points. Brothers and sisters, do you have any idea how much Ayatollah Sistani Hafadahullah has contributed towards fighting and eliminating the American-created, supported, funded Daesh? It was, as a matter of fact, Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa that triggered the creation of Hashd al-Shaabi, the popular mobilization force in Iraq. The volunteers who came to defend their country, defend the people of their country, came to defend Islam, and came to defend the oppressed against the tyrants, American-backed ISIS. Do you have any idea? When you say you have nothing to do with any of this because you follow Ayatollah Sistani, to me, it is the biggest disrespect of Ayatollah Sistani one can do. Shame on such people who want to push for their apolitical agenda, hijack the Islamic centers, pretend to be these great mu'mineen in the name of Ayatollah Sistani. They say that we are going to stay away from all this. Shame on such people. They're doing a disservice. If they're doing it voluntarily and knowingly, they're doing a huge disservice. And if they're doing it involuntarily, they better rectify themselves. Ayatollah Sistani, he gave that memorable and historic fatwa in today's time that eliminated Daesh. The second point, Imam Khamenei, he says, Today, the Pharaoh is America. Today, the Pharaoh is the Zionist regime. He said two statements on December 2017. The very next day, Ayatollah Sistani's website, it was announced that Ayatollah Sistani denounced America's decision to announce Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. This is who Ayatollah Sistani is. The very next day, that rahbar, he gave the statement, Ayatollah Sistani also gave the statement. Whoever paints this picture that somehow, God forbid, na'udhu billah, Ayatollah Sistani has derailed from the path of pure Muhammadan Islam, they are liars and deceivers. Don't fall for it. And unfortunately, there are some people who are pushing for this narrative. This is a disrespect to a faqih of Islam. No, we don't have apolitical fuqaha. You want to call it whatever, they cannot be the faqih of Islam. Ayatollah Sistani was on the forefront, he still is on the forefront, given the conditions that he is facing. He's acting on his responsibility. The third point, before we close this chapter, Ayatollah Sistani's clear stance on Shia-Sunni unity. Everybody knows about it, and everybody should know about it. Ayatollah Sistani said that Sunnis are not only our brothers, they are our nafs. They are our soul, spirit. And then yet you find some hypocrites who take the name of Ayatollah Sistani and further the sectarian narrative. It's so shameful. In the name, they get respect because of Ayatollah Sistani, and then they further the agenda of British Shiaism. You have people like that. Brothers and sisters, Ayatollah Sistani, alhamdulillah, may Allah protect him and prolong his life. He has always been on the side of Haq, and he still is on the side of Haq. Anybody who tries to shy away from fulfilling their own responsibilities, taking the name of Ayatollah Sistani, challenge them. Don't let it happen. Don't let them further the apolitical agenda in our communities where they just disown the socio-political responsibilities of the community in the name of Ayatollah Sistani. This is falsification in the name of Ayatollah Sistani. Hafazahullah. Please recite As-salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Some people say, you know, that they're religion and politics are different. You know, they want to separate the two. They're so keen and hell-bent on separating the two. I will quote Imam Khomeini rather than talking too much about it. Imam Khomeini says, "One who maintains that religion and politics are separate understands neither politics nor religion." In Tahrirul Wasila, he has a statement. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, I'm coming to the end. Know that today the enemy's media machinery, it keeps pumping out lies and propaganda against the Islamic Republic, against the system of Wilayatul Faqih, against the mu'mineen, the defenders of the shrine, the mujahideen. We have a role to play here. I'm not saying that we pick up the guns and go on the battlefields and, you know, start fighting. No, everybody has their own responsibility. We being in the Hawza, we're supposed to say Haq in the Sultanun Jair. Kalamatul Haq in the face of the oppressors and aggressors. And we're not to shy away from this responsibility at any cost. We should know the fact of the matter is that the US is the head of the snake. The United States of America is the head of the snake. You look at someone like UK, it is the neck of the snake. You come down, the Zionist regime of Israel is the trunk of the snake. And the Saudi regime is the tail of the snake. Remember this. Remember the enemies of your time. We're hoping and praying that this tail, it gets fixed inshallah soon. And efforts are being made, as you know. Not to mention the disloyalty and conspiracies that they have done, the Saudi regime has done, against pure Muhammadan Islam in last 40 plus years. But hopefully, we are praying and inshallah, hoping that this tail gets fixed somehow. And the mu'mineen are making an effort. Is it not the duty of the scholars to inform people about these realities, brothers and sisters, in the light of Imam Hussein's sermon? And inshallah, we will continue the rest of it tomorrow, as there are many things that we need to discuss, inshallah. But know that we have signed up for something serious. It is not a child's play. We cannot just be on the side of Haq and also silent against Batil. This equation is not Islamically proven. It's just not possible, right? We have to take sides. You know, in our minds, we may think that we're neutral. No, brothers and sisters, in the Karbala of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we see that there were people who were with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and then there were people who were against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The third group was actually beneficial for those who were against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's as simple as that. The same equation holds true today. Imam Hussein alayhi salam recites in this very sermon, he recites the verse of the Holy Quran in chapter 5, verse number 44, which says, "Fear not men, but fear me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us towards fearing Allah. Please recite as salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله Brothers and sisters, the mourners of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the mourners of Karbala, the mourners of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, take your hearts to the plains of Karbala, take your minds towards the plains of Karbala, witness the scenes. These days and these nights are very difficult for Ahlul Bayt. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is present in Karbala with a small group of selfless individuals. The army of hundreds and thousands are ready to attack Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam is there with just a few. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had his loyal companions with him. Imam had his family with him. Amongst the handful of his companions, one personality looked a little different from the others. He looked a bit different. Who was he? He was John from Africa. He was the slave of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the principles of Imam Hussein alayhi salam attracts human conscience. It attracts human hearts. It attracts all the justice-seeking and the lovers of justice towards him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he had this slave named John who was from Africa. According to some historic narrations, he was older than Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib, purchased John from Abu Zar Ghaffari. Remember Abu Zar Ghaffari, the loyal companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was exiled to Rabaza by the third caliph and was martyred due to starvation. After the shahada of Abu Zar, John came to Imam Ali alayhi salam. After the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he went to Imam Hassan alayhi salam. After the shahada of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Imam Sajjad alayhi salam got martyred, Imam Hussein sent John to Imam Sajjad's place. How many Imams did John witness? John was not just an ordinary companion of Imam Hussein alayhis salam. He was one of the most trusted persons around the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Brothers and sisters, after the sunset on the 10th of Muharram, Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha and the children started looking for John. They were looking for John. They were calling John. They were running around for John. This is how special he was for Ahlul Bayt. Don't consider that he was just a slave. Imam brought him to bring him to the family of Ahlul Bayt. This is who John was. Before he went to fight, he came to the tents of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said to the ladies and the children, "Please forgive me." John says to the ladies of Ahlul Bayt and children of Ahlul Bayt, "Please forgive me." "Why, John? What have you done wrong?" John says, "Forgive me that I have had shortcomings in serving you. I haven't served you enough." Ya Allah, what a Babasir, Shaheed of Karbala. The children surrounded John. It was a very unique farewell, brothers and sisters. John was surrounded by the children. The wailing and crying started by the children caused Imam Hussein alayhi salam to weep as well. Imam Hussein alayhi salam started to see this whole scene and he started to shed his tears for John. Imam Hussein alayhi salam walked towards John, and when John asked for permission, Imam Hussein alayhi salam responded, "Anta fi iznin minni ya John," that you are free to go, John. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells Hazrat John, "You are free to go. Go and don't trouble yourself for us. Don't put yourself in harm's way. You have already served us for many years in Medina. It's enough already, John." Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells John, "You're free to go. You don't have to risk your life." Brothers and sisters, look at the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and look at the mercy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam does not want to risk anyone's life, but at the same time, Imam Hussein would not back off from the path of haq and truth. Look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, although he has very few companions to begin with. He's looking at it, this big army of the enemies, the Yazidi forces combined. But yet, Imam Hussein alayhi salam does not force John to stay. Imam Hussein alayhi salam told John, "You go. You are free from my side. You have already done your part. You have served us and the Ahlul Bayt. John, just go." Now look at what John replied. "O Mu'mineen, O Azadar." John, when asked for permission and he was asked to go, Imam alayhi salam says, "John, you don't need to stick around." John dropped his head. John dropped his head. He paused for a second. The maktal says, "Fawaka'a jawnu ala kadama Abi Abdullah." John dropped himself in the feet of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and respectfully asked, "Inna lawni la aswad." Is it because I'm black? John is all concerned about why Imam is not letting him fight. John is all concerned about why Imam is saying, "You go back from Karbala. You don't have to stay, John." John says, "Is it because I'm black? Warihi lanatin. Is it because I have a bad body odor? Is it because I stink? Wahasabi la laim. because I don't have a strong lineage. I'm just a slave. This is what John is. John does not object on Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He starts to wonder, why is it that Imam Hussain alayhi salam is sending me back? Now Imam Hussain alayhi salam's facial colors, they changed. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he got all worried for these questions that John had asked, and he hugged John. He said, what are you talking about, John? You are free if you want to join the battle. Wallahi la ufarikukum, John says, I swear to Allah, I won't separate from you, O Imam Hussain, hatta ma akhtalata dami al aswad biddamaikum. John says, till my black blood is mixed with your blood, O Hussein. The Maktal says, fa'azina lahul Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave him the permission. John went and fought bravely. Finally, he had the permission to go to the battlefield and fight the enemies of Imam Hussein, to fight the enemies of Islam. John went to the battlefield and he said that I am not going to stop till my blood is mixed with the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. John went and fought bravely. Finally, this old African slave fell down, injured and soaked in blood. Immediately, John's head was in the lap of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The Maktal says, Fatabassama John. His body was all soaked in blood, yet the Maktal says, Fatabassama John. After that, John smiled when he saw Imam Hussain alayhi salam. These are the Ushaq, brothers and sisters. They are the Ashik of Shahadat. They are the Ashiks to be sacrificed for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam put his cheek on the cheek of John and stated this dua. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Brothers and sisters, mourner of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, this is the last masayib of Hazrat John that I'm going to recite tonight. Imam Hussain alayhi salam put his cheek on the cheek of John and stated this dua. Allahumma bayyiz wajhahu. May Allah illuminate his face. وَتَيِّبْ رِيحَهُ, and turn his body odor into fragrance. وَحْشُرْهُ مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and destine him with abrar. O Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you still have to see your own son being sacrificed. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you still have to see the arrow piercing through Ali Asghar's throat. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you still have to see the spear going through Ali Akbar's chest. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you still have to see the arms of Abbas being severed. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you still have to see the women being treated wrongly. Oh Hussein, you still have to see a lot. Oh Hussein, you are caring so much for this slave. How are you going to feel when your own son is going to be slaughtered by these enemies? Oh Hussein, John is sacrificed for you. Burair is sacrificed for you. All of the companions are gone. Now we are moving towards the sacrifice of your own family, the Bani Hashim. Hussein, how difficult it is for you. How difficult it is for you to put up with all this. All for the sake of Allah. All for the sake of righteousness and truth. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْكَلِبٍ يَنْكَلِبُونَ. Soon will the wrongdoers know the end that they shall reach. Ya Allah, guide us to be prepared for the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Qaim, who will fill the earth with justice and equity. Ya Allah, enable us to relieve the oppressed from the oppression of the oppressors. Ya Allah, give long life to the sincere scholars, our teachers, fuqaha, and especially to the leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Ya Allah, protect the system of Wilayatul Faqih. Ya Allah, strengthen the Islamic Republic. Ya Allah, protect the defenders of Islam and Mujahideen of Islam. Ya Allah, free the believers from the unjust imprisonment of the kuffar and munafiqeen. Ya Allah, give shifa to the sick. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Matame Hussein.